You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. Now, your earliest memory can be difficult to determine, or not. Maybe some of you have yours clearly visualized and stored away with easy access. Some of those memories can be truly happy, if not hazy, while others can certainly be painful to recall. In our next conversation, we're going to hear Rob talk about first memories and how exploring them can stir up some profound thoughts about who we are, who our parents are or were, and the lives we've lived. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your earliest memory? Have you tried to think of it before? Is it difficult to come up with that? And how old were you? Do friends, family, or loved ones have great first memories that they've shared with you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll be taking your calls following this interview. Giles Brandreth is a British writer, broadcaster, ex-MP, and TV star. His new podcast, where he talks to famous people about their childhoods and first memories, is called Rosebud. Rob Ferret spoke to him earlier this week.
Now, you've been a lot of things in your life. Why did you want podcaster to be your newest title?
Well, I wanted to be a podcaster because I like to be as modern as tomorrow and with a lot of time for yesterday. And I tell you why I wanted to be a podcaster. I wanted to have conversations that you don't get on television anymore. When I was young, I've been around for a long time, you would get on TV chat shows where people could talk at length. You will remember Dick Cavett. Mm-hmm. And when I was in New York, I was lucky enough to meet him and to go to one of his shows. And he had, I forget who it was, maybe it was James Baldwin, great American writer. He came on and he talked for half an hour or more at length. And it was wonderful to listen to this wise, interesting, controversial man just talking, talking, talking. And I thought, we don't get that now. We live in the age of the soundbite. Everything's done on TikTok in 45, 15 seconds. I want to meet people, and I want to meet interesting people, and I want to spend time with them. And also, when you hear people talking on shows, maybe like some of the ones you do, certainly the ones I do a lot of broadcasting over here for the BBC, and I appear on a TV show in the mornings, we get guests, but they're very rarely on for more than 5, 6, 7 minutes. And they usually talk to us about their latest movie, TV series, their latest book. They're promoting something. And I wanted to spend time with people. And I think to find out what people are like now, maybe we should go back to the beginning and find out what they were like then. So I've started this new podcast, which I have to say I'm very excited about because it seems to be being listened to around the world, with people taking them back to their childhoods. And the question that I ask everybody at the beginning of this podcast, which is called Rosebud, for a reason I'm sure you'll understand, the first question I always ask is, what is your very, very first memory? Not a memory taken from a photograph in a family album, but actually in your head, what can you picture first in your life?
What was the inspiration for that first question? Because it's an amazing first question that certainly got me thinking.
Well, the inspiration, I think, really came from the title. I was thinking one day, it was my father's birthday, and my father died when he was only 71 years of age. He knew he was going to die then because when he was a schoolboy, he went to a fair, a circus, and he met a gypsy fortune teller, a lady who sat in a tent. This is a long time ago. We're talking about the 1920s, 100 years ago. And this lady looked into his palm, and she said, oh, young man, you could live a long life. You're going to die at the age of 71. Well, when you're 17, 71 seems a long way away. But he, all his life, remembered that this gypsy lady had said he was going to die at the age of 71. So sure enough, when he was 71, he died. It didn't help that he smoked. He smoked a great deal, and that may have contributed as well. But I was thinking about him and how, on his birthday, I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about how he used to take me to the movies. And one of his favorite films was Citizen Kane with Orson Welles. And I remember the scene at the end of, because I saw it many times. And in the movie theater we went to see it in the days when he took me, you could sit on either side of the movie theater. One side was for smokers, one side was non-smoking. But he was a smoker, so I sat and saw many great movies, like Citizen Kane with Orson Welles, through a haze of smoke. Anyway, I never saw it clearly. But what I do remember is towards the end of the movie, there is this scene where the character that Orson Welles plays, based on, we're led to believe, William Randolph Hearst, where he recollects his mother and seeing his mother for the last time and remembers the sledge that had the trademark Rosebud. And that's what gave me the idea. I thought, oh, yes, I wish I could go back to my father's childhood. What was my father's first memory? Because my first memory is of my father. And it's one of two first memories. I remember standing in the street with him, and I must have been about 2.5 years of age. And it was outside an apartment block, and he was moving furniture into the car. And I think I remember it vividly because I thought he was going away without me and I was going to lose him. The other recollection I have of him, the first one, but I think this may be recollected later, is I remember the coronation of our late Queen Elizabeth II, who was crowned in 1953. And my father, I know, took me on his shoulders to watch the coronation. And I seem to remember sitting on his shoulders, trying to watch the soldiers marching past through a kind of periscope, a homemade periscope. But I think that may be a memory of an incident he told me about. So what I try to do with my guests is take them back to their very first memory. What is your very first recollection?
Mine, I thought about this in preparing, and here's what I think it is. Weirdly, it has to do with radio. I can remember being in a car with my parents. I don't remember which car. They switched them from time to time. And there were voices, right, on the radio. They listened, I guess, to a talk show. And I remember thinking, how do they get the people in the front of the car to talk to us like that? Are there tiny little people? and I was puzzled and baffled. I kind of remember that. I don't think I remember anything before that. I've worked in radio now for a couple decades. I still haven't figured out how they get the little people in there. But that was the thing that I came up with. I can't think of anything before that.
What is interesting, and I think your listeners, if they listen to our podcast, Rosebud, there will be people that they've heard of, people like the great Dame Judi Dench, our most famous actress.
And Michael Palin.
The great traveler and the Monty Python hero. So there'll be people that they have heard of, people they won't have heard of, like someone who knew our late queen because she was the lady-in-waiting to Princess Margaret. There'll be other intriguing people. But what is fascinating is you go to their very first memories, and I almost want to take these to a psychiatrist or an analyst, is often, like you, the first memory seems to almost predict the journey that the person will take. And there you are. On radio all these years later. You're like my cat. My cat still goes around the back of the TV set to work out where the people are.
Oh, me too.
You see these things on the front of the TV. They walk around the back. I say that. The cat no longer does that because the TV is on the wall. We've now got a big TV. But you can remember when that was possible. So have you been inviting some of your listeners to recall their first memories?
We are going to do that. And people can call in now at 800-642-1234. And we'll take your calls after we're done talking to Giles. But Giles, you also invite, you talk to the famous people for the most part, but you also invite listeners to share yours. Have you gotten a great response? Are you seeing themes emerge as you get this huge collection of data?
As you will discover in the next few minutes, you do. There are a mixture. People call up or write in with happy recollections because they feel they had a good childhood and their first recollection tends to be something warm. Though what we do on the radio, on our show, our podcast, is we then unpack it. I would say, you know, if I was asking you the next question, I would say to you, who were your parents? Why were you in the back seat? They were in the front seat. Who did the driving? What was your dad like? What was your mum like? We then explore that. But then people also, they call in with recollections often which reflect anxiety. There was a moment when something went wrong. People remember being taken away to a hospital. They remember thinking, am I going to lose one of my parents? Or they recollect the arrival of a sibling, a brother or a sister. They're moments of anxiety that sort of get locked into people's heads. So I think you will be intrigued by the range of recollections. And what we then, some people, begin to explore for themselves, they then think, that's what I remember first. Why do I remember it first? Often people are in high chairs with food. Some people are spreading the food about, flicking it about. Occasionally, we've had people remembering their pets, their cats or their dogs. But your parents are usually very much involved. I'd be very intrigued to see what you hear.
And Giles, fantastic. Before I let you go, you mentioned wishing you could do this with your father. Is there a historical figure, someone deceased, who you wished you could have this rosebud conversation with?
Yes, there are so many people that one would be fascinated to hear about. I mean, in the 1960s, when I was first in the United States, it was not long after the assassination of President Kennedy. And I remember I was very lucky. I was a teenager. I was 17, 18 years of age. I went to Washington, D.C., and I was at the Senate. And I didn't realize that the elevators, that one was marked senators only. I didn't see the sign. I stepped into the elevator, and I found I was going up in the elevator with Bobby Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, the younger brother of the president, who was his attorney general. And I traveled up in the elevator. And it's often occurred to me, having read biographies of the Kennedy family, I've heard such stories about their parents. And we in the United Kingdom know quite a bit about President Kennedy's father because he was the ambassador here before the Second World War. And I would love to discover what the childhood of the real childhood of the Kennedy family was like. So I would choose, I think, President John Kennedy to inquire of him about his first childhood recollection and then begin to unpack the nature of his childhood and his life. So that's my choice, President Kennedy.
Giles, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Well, look, can I tell you one more thing?
Sure.
Before you go? Because this might inspire you. There may be somebody out there listening who happened to know the Kennedy family who can call in. But what was intriguing, when I interviewed Judi Dench, the great actress, you may remember her from the James Bond movies and others, wonderful, wonderful actress. She told us about her first boyfriend, because I always ask people about their first boyfriends. And when she was 6 years of age, she recalled she came out one morning, age six, and her neighbor, a boy who lived in the house next door, was sitting on a wall. And he said to her, Judy, today is the day I think we should start calling each other darling. And I did a show this Christmas with Judi Dench, 84 years after that boy said to her, today's the day we should call each other darling. And they hadn't met for more than 80 years, but I brought this man who is now 90 together with Judi Dench, who is now 89. I brought them together for the first time in more than 80 years. So it may be that you will get people sharing their memories of their childhood, and then you get people getting in touch who haven't seen each other since their childhood. So this is the beginning of a world of exploration. That's what Rosebud has to offer. Delve into the past, discover the present, and who knows what the future will bring.
Amazing. Thanks again for joining us, Giles.
We love Wisconsin Public Radio.
That was Giles Brandreth. He's a British writer, broadcaster, ex-MP, and TV star. Central Time host Rob Ferret talked with him earlier this week about his new podcast. It's called Rosebud. Now it's your turn to share your own story at 800-642-1234. What are some of your earliest memories? Where were you? Who were you with? And have those early memories stuck with you naturally, or have you kind of had to work to recall them? Were there specific sensory details that stand out more than others? And have you reconnected with anyone from your childhood later in life, like Giles was able to facilitate? How'd that go? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Shereen Seward in for Rob Ferret. We just heard Rob's conversation with Britain's Giles Brandreth talking about his podcast, Rosebud, where he interviews famous people about their earliest memories. We've got some phone calls already, and I'd like to talk with Bruce from Eau Claire about his memory. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I wanted to tell you about, I grew up on the west side of Madison, and I couldn't have been more than 5 years old, but I was running around in the backyard, and I stepped on a plastic fishing bobber, one of those red and white plastic things, and the little spring-loaded copper hook penetrated my foot, and it was stuck, and I was trying to figure out, I had no idea what this was, and it took me a while to figure out how to pull it out of my foot, but that one stuck with.
What a memory, and I'm sure the pain is still in your memory, too.
A little bit.
Thank you so much.
I play with boppers occasionally, so, yep.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks a lot, Bruce. I appreciate it. We also have Amelia on the line now. Amelia is calling from Montello. Thanks for calling, Amelia.
Hi.
Hi. What's your memory?
Well, I have a very happy first memory. I was about 3 years old, and this would have been in Deerfield, Illinois in the early 60s. And I remember I was in a old-fashioned two-aisle grocery store with my mom, and I was toddling along carrying a bag of puffy Cheetos that was as big as I was, and I couldn't have been happier.
I love it. Do you still eat Cheetos today?
Love them.
Your love started early, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I really appreciate it, Amelia. And the number to call, 800-642-1234. There's still plenty of time to share your memory with us. Let's go to Carl now. Carl is calling from Greendale. Hi, Carl.
Hi. I really interesting show. My earliest memory goes back to when I was just past one, maybe 15 months old. I lived with my grandparents in the city of Milwaukee because my brother, who had just been born, was very sick, and he was in the hospital for 3 months. And I remember my grandfather teaching me how to talk, and he would stand by the window with me as I looked out, and people and objects would go by, and he would say things like dog, and I'd get, you know, that was a dog. And when my mom came back, finally it got me after 3 months, she was amazed that I had a vocabulary of like 12 or 15 words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the earliest memory. I can see everything. I can visualize all, but my memory's like that. Same with when I was two, many memories, three, like John F. Kennedy when he died. I remember that day when I was three. So lots of that kind of stuff. But that's what my earliest one I can remember is that one.
That's crazy. I mean, you're 1 year old. And I remember something from when I was like sitting in a crib when I was young. And my mom has always said, you can't remember anything that from that far back. What do you think about that? I mean, you're one.
Yeah, I know. I don't. I mean, my memory's always been like that, very clear. I can recall memories I can see the visuals. I can even smell some of the smells, you know. I know that sounds odd, but I can't tell you that the day and the calendar things happen, but I remember that those days and those events. And, you know, even when I was in my twos, things that happened, like I lost my little toy gun down the wall. In fact, someday when I ripped that house down, I'm going to look for that gun. Little plastic toy gun. It fell down the wall. And I was very upset because I couldn't reach it because my parents' house was under construction. But yeah, but that takes me back. That's the absolute earliest I can remember.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm glad you said that thing about the smells, because I think that those are all part of our memory. I mean, the smells and the sights and the sounds, it's all part of it, don't you think?
So, you know, another interesting thing is how you remember things and you don't know the context. Like when Kennedy died, I remember that where I was and I was sitting and my mom had gotten this phone call and she was so upset. And, you know, and she tried to explain to me what happened. And it was kind of came out like your dad, the boss died. Right. And I didn't understand what that meant until years later, but I remember the day. And then I remember not being able to watch cartoons that Saturday because the funeral was on and I was upset because I couldn't watch any cartoons.
Oh, sure.
Well, selfish 3 year old, you know?
Well, sure. That's what we think about when we're three, right? So, well, and again, thank you so much for calling. I've enjoyed talking with you, Carl.
Thanks for the opportunity to share.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Vivian is on the phone with us as well. We have Vivian calling from Green Bay. Hi, Vivian.
My earliest memory is looking out the window of a two-story farmhouse at my siblings. There were eight of us in the family. And I was always the last one to get up and go out. But we loved the sandbox. And then as Rob spoke with the author, I thought, why was I always the last one? And it's because I stayed up late in the quiet and created cutout clothes for my cardboard doll. And again, reflecting on Rob's conversation, five girls and my mom, and no one sewed. But really? I grew up and taught myself how to sew clothes for economy, and I reused fabrics and things. And it all goes back, I think, to staying up too late.
Probably. Oh, Vivian, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. I really appreciate it. Dean Kinnetter, our Central Time executive producer, weighed in too. He said, maybe it's just me longing for the summer weather, but one of my first memories is playing in the sandbox in the backyard and eating oranges in the sun. He said he remembers being fascinated when he found out that you could dig far enough through the sand to hit dirt. And that's as far as his geology career went, but he still likes learning about the earth. At any rate, I want to thank all of our callers who shared a story with us today. That was great. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is once again choosing from a set of potential electoral maps in the state. We'll dig into what the different options before the court could mean for the balance of power in the legislature. That's on Central Time from 3 until 6. And on Food Friday, Wisconsin chef Dan Fox shares tips on braising meats and how we can make restaurant quality food with just one pot and a stove, coming up tomorrow on Central Time.